Hey, before we get into the show, I got to tell you about a fantastic new sponsor joining us here at the Dad Podcast, Wink, W-I-N-C. It is a great wine service because we all know moms like wines, dads like wine. It's a great way to unwind at the, after a long day of work and parenting. It's healthy, right? It's good for you. But I don't know if you're like me where you go to the grocery store and you look at the wine aisle. I don't know a ton about wine because I come from a white trash background. So I choose wine based on price point and label, which is not smart, right? You don't want to choose a wine based on who has a better graphic designer. You want to know the taste. Well, that's where Wink comes in. You go to their website, you fill out a survey, and they use these questions to figure out your palate. And it's general questions. You don't have to be a wine expert. All you have to know is like, hey, what do you think about coffee? Do you like coffee? The taste of coffee? Do you like blueberries? Do you like peach? What kind of smells do you like? All of that stuff. They walk you through that. And then they use that to create a palate for you, and they send you wines catered to your palate. Or you could just try new wines. They have delicious new wines, like the insanely popular Summer Water Rosé. There's no membership fees. You can skip it any month. You can cancel at any time. The wines start at just $13 a bottle. So it's like your own little monthly Christmas whenever it shows up. You just get a little gift for you. So go to trywink.com/dadpodcast. Let me give it to you again. trywink.com/dadpodcast. And if you don't know how to spell that, it's in the description and notes of this episode. trywink.com/dadpodcast, and you get $20 off your first shipment. It makes wine fun. It makes it easy. You get to sit back, relax, and just be surprised at these delicious wines and let experts. They have experts that figure it out for you, so you don't have to look lost in the grocery store aisle. Okay? Again, trywink.com/dadpodcast. $20 off your first order. Support these people because not only are they going to make us, give us a better quality of life, tasting amazing, delicious wines, we're going to look like super badass sommeliers when we have our PTA meetings and friends over, but also they're helping to support your favorite podcast. trywink.com/dadpodcast. $20 off your first shipment. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I am your host, Justin Worsham, and with me today is none other than my dearest friend, Kevin Miller of thekevinmiller.com.
Thank you.
You can also hear Kevin and I on our video game podcast called Gamerland Podcast, which is also available via the iTunes and anywhere that you catch podcasts if you so desire to catch them all.
Formerly the second funniest podcast.
That's right. That was the first podcast that I ever did.
Formerly the JK show.
Was it? So it was JK show.
I don't think we had a name for our show when we first started.
And then it was second funniest podcast.
Then it was JK.
Oh, was second funniest, then JK?
No. JK. We had no name. JK.
Then second funniest.
Second funniest.
Yep. And then it became the Gamerland.
That's right.
Which is what it is now.
And then we should change it.
Oh, okay.
That's good.
Should we talk about here how we changed the name of that show?
Yeah, I think we should call it the Dad Podcast.
Oh, that's a good call.
My market research says that people that like the Dad Podcast really like Justin Worsham. So if we're going to change our name, should change it to something.
I don't know. I don't know that the people that like the Dad Podcast like Justin Worsham.
They always think it's something else.
Yeah, I think
they're expecting Eddie Murphy.
Honestly, here's the thing. I honestly think that people stumble onto this show because they're like, oh, my girlfriend is pregnant.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
And then they're like, oh, maybe there's a podcast about curling. There's got to be a podcast for dads.
Huh.
And then they stumble upon it. And one of two things happens. Either A, they realize that I am a horrible father and am in no way qualified or should be allowed to talk about the subject.
They got their girlfriend pregnant, yet they're judging you. Go on.
Well, I mean, it could be wife. I'm just saying, sure. Lady friend or whatever. Uh-huh. And then, or they're like, oh, well, this guy doesn't really have any information, but he amuses me slightly. And that those are the ones that stick around. That's how I imagine this shakes out.
You have no market research to support that intuition?
No. Okay. No. Although I get emails. Most of the emails that I get are from people, and that's what they say. They go, you know, I found out that we were going to have a kid, and I was like, I got kind of scared, so I started looking for shows. And in all seriousness, I think a lot of them look at other shows, and I think that they... If they stumble on this one and settle in, it's because the other shows don't speak to them. Because this one
it's like friends, right? Like you have friends that you connect with, and there are other people that you don't, and so you have a voice that connects with them.
I hope so. Otherwise, then I'm just sitting in my backyard playing radio for no reason whatsoever.
This show has a lot more heart to it than our show.
What do you mean?
There's a lot more sincerity, I think. I think because it speaks, you love being a dad. You're very proud of being a dad.
Yeah.
And I get the impression, like, talking, the fact that you do the show is because you have such a passion for being a good father to your children. There's not the same sort of passion to being like a really good gamer.
No.
I really want to represent the character of gaming well.
I feel, but here's the thing. This is fun for you and I to talk about, is that can you be both? Can you, you know what I mean?
Be a good gamer and a good dad.
I say need the other.
No, you can't.
I don't.
Not of young children. I would say grown children or late teen, like the point where they're responsible for their own. Yes, absolutely.
I've said it many times on this show, and I think our show too, where it's, I do believe that we are entering into an era where playing video games with your kid is the new having a catch in the backyard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though my kids still like both. They like to, and it's funny that my kids have transitioned into, they dominate my PlayStation a lot now. And then when I jump in, especially if it's like a Lego Dimensions game.
Yeah.
What was it? I recently played Battlefront 2 with them. I jumped in and it was so funny. It made me kind of question what you were just saying, is that, you know, I pride myself on being a good dad. And I like to game, but very rarely do I feel like those cross over. And we're talking about two children who I played games with when they were younger, constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably more so Jacob. The younger one, Jack, became Jacob's new play friend.
Yeah.
And I think Jacob was to Jack what I was to Jacob. Like, aww, he kind of taught him the
Your
ropes.
Your son had a
thing.
Son. Wait a minute.
Well, that's really creepy.
That's really weird.
But in a way, he had a video game son. And
well, he took him under his wing.
A player two, if you will.
Oh, he's a player two. How cool is that?
He pressed the PS1 button to join the game. The option button was pressed. And,
that's so much better than Wingman. You're my player two.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
How is it that we don't have necklaces with a broken PlayStation controller that says player one and player two, that when you combine
them, as
soon
as we hang up, as soon as this podcast is over, I'm going to go on eBay, Amazon, and if they don't exist, Etsy, and if it's not there, I'm going to make it.
How can they not exist?
I'm going to give it to you for a birthday.
In this nerd culture.
I'm sure it exists.
It's got to.
Yeah.
It's
Happy birthday, to. By the way.
Thank you. Yeah, this is my birthday week episode. January 24th is my birthday.
Yep.
I'm not into the birthday. You just had a birthday.
I did, back in December.
Back in December. Kevin is cursed. I spent my entire life having the birthday that I thought was close to Christmas, and then one day I met Kevin Miller, whose birthday is December 21st.
You thought 21st. Your birthday was close to Christmas January?
To you, it's insulting, but I didn't know anybody else that had a December birthday.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's all relative.
20 years
Except
ago,
for Jesus.
All of a sudden I went, oh, yeah, that's right.
That guy.
Yeah, that guy. Well, yeah, Jesus. But, I mean, at that point, you're Icarus when you're Winx.
It's his birthday. He wants his birthday on his birthday.
How many double gifts do you think that poor guy gets?
All of them.
All of them, right?
It's all of his gifts.
It's all of it. He's constantly asking, like, which one is which.
This is great, because I get to unpack two things at once. I was going to say about the throwing catch. So bookmarking that and going back before the show, I asked you, like, what's my status on the show? Because I'm your player two on the other show.
Uh-huh.
Here,
no,
I realize
you're player one on the other show.
And you have thanks. We have you have a lot of guests with a lot of authority that come on the show. I think you do a good job of finding people that have different reasons why they get to have an opinion on being a dad or being a father. Right? Is that accurate of most of your guests?
Yes. Although in the new year, my goal is to be less informative, although I will have experts on. We have the pediatrician and the therapist and stuff like that. But I want to shift it back to being about like an entertaining, cathartic conversation about fathers.
Oh, okay. Well, then,
fatherdom.
Maybe never mind what I'm about to say.
No, say it.
But here we go.
Because it'll lead to a conversation.
Then we can begin from there. So I, in addition to being your lifelong best friend and player number one, am a pastor at a church in Hollywood, California. I am the community pastor at Ecclesia. You can find us at churchinhollywood.com. If you live in Los Angeles and you're interested in a Christian church, look me up. So as we have this dialogue, you can now have a voice in the conversation of someone that is a God-honoring, Jesus-following worshiper of Christ.
And now,
is that helpful or not helpful? Do you want me to just be fun? I can also be fun.
Why? I don't know why those are mutually exclusive.
I just have to pick my character.
We'll figure it out. Don't feel like you got a pigeonhole. Just think of this as like the first three episodes of a new sitcom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we're just, everybody's getting their sea legs, man. It's all right. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, because like early in most of those shows, like there's one character that's not dumb enough yet. Like The Office, if you see the first like season of Kevin on The Office, he's just kind of like a normal guy and he's a little grumpy and he's slow. And by season nine, he talks like this, and he's constantly amazed by things.
Yeah, he gets refined.
That'll be good.
How?
Oh, so I wanted to say that. So one of the things we talk about in male relationships versus female relationships is that women prefer to have conversations face to face. That's something that we talk about a lot within church circles. So like women will enjoy conversation, especially in marriage. They'll want to talk to each other.
Yeah.
Whereas men prefer shoulder to shoulder time.
What?
They connect better when they're doing an activity where they're not having to face each other and communicate through it. So it's actually a technique we do a lot.
Another thing that makes me more like a chick.
Yeah, that you prefer face-to-face?
Yeah.
We are eye-locked right now.
Yeah.
But the point is that guys will gravitate towards watching football together, fishing, going on a road trip, doing those sort of watching a game, because you're not looking at each other, but you're doing the same activity together. Playing video games is a great example of that, because we're both sitting there and we can have conversations about our life, our marriage, or anything that's going on, but we don't feel like we're terribly intimate because we're actually looking at something else. Whereas a woman, as we talk about often in circles, and this is where a lot of marriages break down, is that a woman will want her husband to sit across the table and tell him her feelings. And the guy's like, can we just sit and watch a game or watch TV? Because that's how they feel connected.
That's it, yeah.
So when you're playing catch, there's an eye-to-eye thing that I think is going to be deeper than if you play sitting
a video
on the couch
game
next to your son.
That's interesting. So in
I tied all of those up. There you go.
Would believe that that sounds counterintuitive, right? Culturally, if you're looking at it going, people are going to want to go have a catch or want to play video games rather than have a catch.
Yeah.
That makes me want to pull my pants up around my sternum, get into old angry Republican guy and go, that's not okay. People shouldn't be doing that. You got to have a catch. That's America. That's why the baseball is dying, because the people aren't having a catch, Kevin. But based on what you're saying, is that technically could be true. Although, here's what I think it is. I think it's about what becomes special, right? Mm. In that, it's why my dad kind of taught me this, is that I used to worry about traveling on the road a lot and being gone, and because I thought, well, I'm not having enough quality time with my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not enough of a presence in their life. And my dad told me, he said, well, when you were like 8 years old, how many weeks out of the month would you say I was home? Yeah. I would say, oh, three. He goes, I was gone 4 weeks out of every month. He goes, I was lucky to be home 1 week a month. Sometimes I'd be gone for the whole month. And I was I don't remember that.
Yeah.
And now you could argue that I psychologically blocked it out, but emotions are tied to memory.
Emotions are tied to memory.
Right.
Memories are tied to emotions. So that makes sense that where there is no emotion to your dad, that file did not get written to permanent memory. So you move on.
So what we all should do as dads is we should leave. And then
no, opposite, because that will be an emotion tied to memory.
Hold on.
So
hear me out.
Okay.
If when I come back.
Yeah.
Very rarely.
No.
I make it like super rare. But
yeah,
I come back. Super awesome.
You hear the irony.
Super fun time.
Right? You understand how you're going.
Then the memory is always a positive one.
Opposite of my point.
And then it's like you were just keyed in dad loves me.
It's like you didn't even hear your own dad.
Because he took me to Payless Shoe Source and bought me the shoes I needed. You know what I mean? Like,
are you planning to divorce your wife and disappear from your children?
Planning is a loose word. I mean, come on. We got to box me in.
You know
what
I mean?
What is a plan in a world of LegalZoom?
Click, click. What is LegalZoom? Get those guys anyway.
How much planning really? Oh, somebody already posted in our chat room here an Etsy link for said necklace, I believe.
Oh.
Player one and player two necklaces, sterling silver.
Oh.
The only downside.
They look like Texas.
Yeah, they're not even Texas. They look.
Oh, they're like little digital hearts?
They look like, they're 8-bit. They're polygon 8-bit, like, but they do. They look like 8-bit Texas.
And that looks like it says platter one. So yeah. Look for something else. Thank you for.
We cast you back into the internet.
Thank
fair
you,
listener.
Random listener is actually the name of it. That's pretty
great.
That's
why I like that. I like that tag. Here's the thing. I think you're right. I think that, but to go back to my point before I started doing the dumb bit, is that I do think that there's a certain element where it's what my dad's overall point was, it is the quality of time spent, not the quantity of the time.
Absolutely.
And I think that, what do you think, is that sometimes I think in today's world of parenting, we get too hung up on the needing for that to be a positive experience. Mm-hmm. And that I'm really big on this thing where that we are robbing our kids of the learning of a negative experience. And what I'm saying is you can't go and engineer negative experiences, right? I think that
on purpose?
Like,
what's wrong with you?
Right.
Do people think that? I need to give my kid some tough love. Let me see how I can crack down on him.
Well, here's the thing. If you think about it, this whole like self-esteem movement is, I recently
this one
learned
gets underneath
the, actually this book right here, Dr. Michael Wetter, Earn It. Mm-hmm. He came on the show. He's actually going to come on the show in the next month or two. He's got some great new things he wants to eat. He wrote this book, and he's a therapist, right? And now he's getting more people are reaching out to him to hire him as a parenting coach than are reaching out to him to ask him for therapy.
What is a parenting coach?
I think it's a job he made up on Etsy.
I mean, if I need a parenting coach, are they like the dog whisperer? They come in and observe your relationship with your kids?
I think it's the same as like it might be, but I think it's more like it's like a marriage counselor in parenting. Like,
so they may never meet your kids. Just sit down and tell me about what it's like to be a dad.
I would imagine. I can't imagine. I think it would be counterintuitive and productive for a guy just to be hanging around with a steno pad watching you interact with your kids and going, interesting.
Unless he has a camera and they're trying to get a four share of the ratings. Yeah.
That's also really good for families so far. Yeah. Odds are. But anyway, so my point is that I think that what he says in the book is that people got really focused in the 70s about self-esteem and parenting became really focused on self-esteem.
Can he unpack why?
Yes, it was about, I wish I have it highlighted in here, actually. If I did more production, if you go back and listen to the episode he was on,
I can
let's
do that.
See if I can.
I find that interesting because it's really fascinating to look at the genealogy of cultures of like growing up under the thumb of the baby boomer generation. I've inherited a lot of their stigmatisms at times, right? So we were rewatching Overboard, in which there's that infamous scene where Goldie Hawn finally turns and embraces these children that aren't hers as her own children. If you remember from the film, she's being forced to, because she has amnesia. She has these four rednecky kids.
Ooh, that's a good movie. I forgot about
it's a great movie. And so she goes in there and starts to lay in on this teacher for being a completely inept teacher. Now, I've spoken to teachers in this current generation who say, you know, there's like no alignment between parents and teachers. It's all that narrative of the parent coming in and yelling at the teacher, you're doing a bad job teaching my child. Why are you such a, you don't know my kid. My kid is such a snowflake. And I think that is an overcorrection because if you look at that generation, the baby boomers had the Depression era generation teaching them as their authority, who had no room to care for them, who had most of them just come back from a war and had all PTSD and no way to care for their kids, the baby boomers. And so they grew up in this place where they had crushing authority in the school. So when they grow up and start telling movies and stories in the form of Overboard, they romanticize the parent coming in and smashing down. So now culture swung the other way.
Yes. And I think it's because even like, remember the joke when Mad Men first came out, it's like first you're drinking all day and you're pinching girls in the butt. And then, but the other thing is nobody cared what the kids had to say or think. Like they were often in the other room or whatever. Yeah. I stumbled upon this part that I highlighted and it says, in the 1970s, many child psychology experts decided that we faced a self-esteem crisis. They believed that lifting children up, praising them, and focusing only on the positive was the remedy for what ails society with its crime and injustice. That would promote a stronger sense of self and self-worth. Parents were told to tell their children that they were special and unique, and that any negative feedback could damage their children's self-esteem.
And what year was that, or what era?
70s.
Early 70s?
Yeah.
So Gen X, right? End of the baby boomer. We're now talking about my generation.
Right.
Your generation?
We're in that
weird cusp. Yeah. We used to be called the MTV generation that was like post-X, and now there's millennials. Yeah. There's like generations within generations.
Like to be a Daisy Fuentes generation, if you're picking up what I'm putting down.
I don't. Should I Google
you remember
that?
Daisy Fuentes? I think she was a VJ and also a volleyball player. I don't know what. High-fiving you.
That's what I thought. He's slapping the air in front of me. I would not have gotten volleyball from that bump set spike. Oh, I get it now. I get it.
Yeah, and so, to go back to what I'm saying is that, so in the 70s, people overcorrected about the self-esteem, right?
Yeah.
So now, the reason I was saying is that I think it's just as likely that if you start saying, well, we got to learn from our negative experiences, that people will overcorrect from that. Mm-hmm. Where it's and I think the overcorrection is, you know, it's a stupid statement, but it is what my mind was thinking, is that you designing things, like I joked with my wife about after I read this book here, Earn It, where I said, I'm going to start making our house into an escape room where, like, randomly the kids will just wake up on a Saturday and the furniture will be shifted around and then it'll be a big timer that'll just start ticking down with a loud noise. They've played enough video games. They're going to pick up what's going on and they got to figure it out.
You think? Oh, they're a little young. Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, they're a little young.
Here's the thing. For me to think of it, there's a big part of me that wants to see it. To sit here and say that this is just a fun bit I talked about on my podcast.
Honestly, when they're 13, I think you can totally do that.
13, and that's what I'm most excited about having teenagers is because then when you're abusive to them, it's just retribution. Like, it's deserved. They're way too arrogant and cocky.
Well, and it makes them interesting. And then they have stuff to say.
Yeah. I can't. It's like poking them. Because I do feel, how do you feel? Your kids, how old is Quinn again?
He's five.
Five, and then Hazel's two?
Two, she'll be three in a month.
So you got 5 and 3. I've got 9 and 6. I feel like in this era of parenting that I'm in easy street. It seems like things have kind of mellowed out. And it's just kind of
you can have a conversation with them. There's no hormones telling them to go do things that you don't need to try to explain to them.
Right. Yeah. And there's still moments of correction.
Yeah.
But it definitely feels like now what I remember it felt like as far as stress level, it feels like having one child.
Yeah. And I bet. Yeah. You're in like a nice golden age right now. You've got about 3 years left of.
How about you, though? Like, do you feel like, because I felt like when Jack hit two.
Yeah.
That was the first time I could breathe.
Well,
are even closer together.
They're very close in age, which is nice because they're definitely buddies. They love each other, which is adorable to watch. And I, having a brother growing up, I've realized that there is a beauty to having a brother-sister relationship. There's a lot less. They're in competition with each other. There's a lot less competition than having two boys or even watching your two boys fight with each other. It's not a universal statement. I understand everybody's different. But I just in my experience, I've never known two siblings to get along so well. And I think it's easy because of just their gender that makes them treat each other differently. The fact that she is a girl, I don't know how to reason with her. There are many times where I can, even when Quinn was 2 or 3, he knew where the boundaries were. It's like John Mayer used to say, you know, boys you can break, you find out how much they can take. And when you could get to a point where he's like, oh, okay, yeah. Now she's just stubborn. She's just like, no, I'm not doing it. I lay down the boundaries of don't get out of the bed. And she's like, I'm going to figure out how far out of the bed means before I'm actually in trouble. And then she gets mad at me, like I'm a mean person to her because I told her to stay within the boundaries of the bed. So it's a completely different dynamic.
Do you believe that because she's a woman, right? Female.
And my daughter. And adorable.
Right. But also, like, just for the same reason that there's a difference in the way that a sibling, male-female relationship, right? So if you're the father of a daughter, here's what I imagine having a daughter to be. I imagine it to be this thing that I feel like you're describing, but I don't know if I'm Rorschaching in that, where she's playing mind games with you on a level that I couldn't compete.
No, that's exactly it. It's exactly it. Remember years
But can your ago, can your wife see through it?
I don't know. She's... If she can, she's not giving me any tips. But you remember decades ago, your niece was 3 years old, and we were teasing her about something. And it was all in fun and jest. And then she downshifted to the next level and then like wanted to go into the other room and tell us what she was feeling about what was going on. And you pointed out, like, she figured out a way to beat us at this own game.
Yeah.
And we weren't being mean. It was just that we were teasing.
Playfully teasing her.
We were all teasing. Whatever we were doing.
She turned the game upside down.
Exactly. And it was like, oh, well, this isn't fun anymore. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. Three-year-old? And that's what this two nearly three-year-old does to me all the time, but about disciplinary stuff, where I'm like, okay.
And it's very different because very my different. Niece, you're just having a social interaction.
Exactly.
With
a, we're all playing and whatever.
But you're partially responsible for molding this person into somebody who could be a functioning part of society.
Exactly.
Which brings a lot of gravitas to
a lot of gravitas. And then, you know, how she interacts with men as she grows up and where expectations for authority and everything.
Do you honestly believe that even at two, that she has even the slightest realm of comprehension that she does or is in the process of getting you wrapped around her
Oh,
finger?
Yeah. No, she knows.
She knows she has
may,
you?
She may not know that she has a unique relationship with me. I don't think she has the ability to compare herself. Like, I can do this, but my brother can't. They don't know. They're just like dogs. Like, that one's getting yelled at. I'm not getting yelled at.
Exactly.
On the belly, scratch. But I think she knows that she can look at me in a certain way or make that little pouty upside down poochy lip thing. And then it'll, okay. But I'm also, it's good because I'm learning, like with my son, to the point where I have to dial back sometimes so that I can be firm with him and that he can still, when we can get through a tough conversation and when it's over, he'll be like, hey, love you, dad, or whatever. And 10 minutes later, it's all fun and games. Where her, I had to learn from like age 9 months that no matter how hard or intense things got, you know, the slapping of hands for not touching the power outlet, she's crying, tears running down her face. With him in those moments, I just keep doing it until I broke him. With her, I have to do it and then have to hold her. And show her the affection and be like, it's okay. We can. To me, that would be confusing. They're like, so wait, you love me, but you're disciplined. To her, it's like, if you don't hold me, I'm never going to listen to you. If you don't hug me right now, I'm never going to believe what you have to say.
You don't. Here's the thing. I may be digging too deep into what you're saying because I remember having those moments with my dad.
Yeah.
Even as a son, where he would lose it, right? Yeah. He would thump me on the head, whack me, spank me, whatever, send me to my room. But he would always come back in. And I don't, maybe the difference is that I would never see myself as needing that in order to repair the relationship or even that it needed repair. I feel like I'm setting it up to where you're doing something wrong and that's not my intent.
No.
I'm curious.
If I could guess, your dad, there have only been a handful of times with her where I have legitimately lost control of myself, like where I'm actually angry, I will be forceful. I'll be direct, and I'm not a robot. But many times in disciplining her or my son, there is a feigned or like I am deliberately emoting aggression to you. I want you to know that I am in charge.
You've hit a line. Yeah.
And so I am choosing to do that. I'm a human, so definitely there have been times where I've lost my cool, and that comes through. But most of the time, it's a choice. Where I'm guessing with your dad, and this may be true, so not true, so you can tell me, where when he got mad at you and thumped, he was mad. There was just...
Yeah, oof. Maybe not all the time,
yeah.
But I like because it's a different time. I really see it as being a different time in that he wouldn't even be aware of the idea of feigning aggression. It would just, but at the same time, I would not define his relation towards me as being aggressive. Like even though he thumped me on the head, he spanked me, he would clock me with his knuckles as I got older on the head. There was a lot of things that by today's terms of parenting would be extremely violent.
I tapped my daughter on the shoulder today because she wasn't listening to me. And she spent the next minute wiggling her shoulder where I tapped her.
Like you dislocated,
I was like, what do you do? You hurt me, Dad. Come on. I'm sorry I hurt you.
But it's that thing. It's all perspective.
Yeah.
It's all perspective that is like I had a moment today with Jacob where I made dinner, right? And it was this thing where like most dinners that I make where we're there and they're like, I don't know, they're like sniffing it like I'm gonna poison them. All right. Which by the way, it's steak and like sweet potatoes, like it's everything delicious. And they're just like, you know, but again, perspective, right?
Yeah.
So they're just sitting there, they're like, I don't know. And then at one point, Jacob's like wolfing down his steak and he's like, this is the best steak I've ever had. Oh my God, this is amazing. And I said, it's salt and pepper on it. Like, that's all I put on it.
And meat.
Yeah.
It was just meat.
And,
yeah.
But normally I would have like a rub or a marinade, what I mean? Kind of a thing. And he was like, oh my God, this, blah, 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 you know, yeah, that kind of stuff. And what fell out of my face was, while the other one was at this moment in the meal, was doing a sniff test on a piece of steak that he'd already, he's on his second helping, by the way. This one smells different. It's cut from the same piece of steak. And I said to him, you have no idea what it is to be hungry. You have no.
Which is fine.
I'm not saying that they need to. Sure. But I feel like I have to passive aggressively say these things to them so that hopefully it gets a little bit ingrained so that they can process it by hearing it.
But he has known hunger once, right? I was remembering the day your wife famously did not feed him breakfast because he took his time getting out of bed, right? Like, so.
But
that's not hunger. Right. That's just being hungry.
Yeah, because he probably was going to school and then 2 hours, every 45 minutes they give him food, like,
really?
Oh God, I don't understand. I don't get it how you gotta hydrate, you gotta get food in you every 45 minutes. I feel like they literally have breakfast in the morning, we shove them out the door, and within an hour and a half at school they're having snack time, and then another
public
hour
schools
goes by.
Provide a snack?
No, they provide a snack time.
And
so then, and that's their recess, and most of them probably don't eat, but it's just like, It's we've decided they have to have a.
I do not recall having a snack time.
No, we didn't. Nobody cared what you did, what you needed then.
I remember being starving the whole time.
The whole time you were there?
Yeah, lunch was so far away, and I'm like, what? But I have a very high metabolism.
Yes.
So I would be starving as a child all afternoon, and then they'd put this giant meal in front of me, and I could eat, you know, a portion of that, and then I have to spend the next 3 hours staring at the plate watching it.
You could eat a portion because it was no good, or you could eat a portion because you just also
because
didn't
I was
eat
full.
A huge, yeah,
I
yeah.
just didn't eat a huge meal. But
so
that's
you
how
like to graze.
I would graze. Yeah. I'm much better grazing.
Oh, you would be so happy as a child today.
Yeah,
if you could go to elementary school today, you'd be grazing like there's no tomorrow.
Is that an open enrollment?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Like,
I'll get you in there.
Oh, thanks.
Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk about some game consoles. Oh, we had a question come in from.
I know a lot about this.
Yeah, after this. Hey, if you want to support the show, do me a favor. Go to thedadpodcast.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the page there. There's an Amazon banner. If you click on that Amazon banner, you could bookmark that as your Amazon link. And every time you go to Amazon, all it does is give about 5 to 10% or whatever it is you buy over to Daddy's Way. It costs you nothing. All it does is help the show. You slide on all your nice ideas. Will you try on all your nice ideas? Put some spotlight on the side. And whatever comes, comes through clear. Your kids are still young, but do you restrict the gaming for them even now?
They each have Kindles, so we have to monitor that because they have the Amazon free time, right? And so we just give it to them, and they'll just discover whatever.
That has built in time limits on it that you
we
can,
don't activate yet. Okay. We could, but
it becomes a hassle because if they use the time up on a day where you're like, no, I just need some help here.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you're like, you're constantly changing it.
We're supposed to really, we can just take it from them.
Yep.
Like that part always confuses me unless you're going to be away from them. I don't know why you would be away from your kids.
Jacob figured out the password. Watching me put it in one
time. I know my kid could.
And then he just turned it off.
Yeah.
And it's just funny because I wasn't really mad at him because he's such a good kid.
Yeah,
And I don't mean good as in like, oh, he's a good kid. I mean like he's a good-hearted
child. He's a pretty genuine
like,
child.
Very rare, although he has a funny story. I don't know if I shared this on the show. Recently at school, they were taking a test and he couldn't figure out the answer. And it was like an assessment test. So it's like, where are you in the scale of math? And so the teacher told him, she goes, there's,
seven.
Yeah. There's going to be things on this test that you don't know. Uh-huh. And so it's okay. If you don't know, either take a guess or move on and come back to it later. Maybe something in the test will jog your memory or whatever. So he asked a question. He goes, about this thing. And I think it was about a prime number. He goes, I don't know what a prime number is.
Mm.
And then I think I'm making that up. So anyways, she goes, well, I can't answer that question without helping you on the test. And he's like, but I don't know. And she goes, if you don't know, then it's fine. You don't have to know. This is, and she kept, and he's like, he couldn't process it.
Couldn't do it.
So then,
like Optimus Prime,
the girl next to him was like, there was some mumbling and she's like, what's going on? And the girl kind of signed, goes, Jacob's Googling what a prime number is. They have laptops at the desk.
They have laptops at the desk.
So he was taking a test through the computer program.
How is he not the only one that thought to Google what is a prime number?
That's what I'm saying is that I'm met with this issue of going, I like the ingenuity.
Yeah,
I like
the problem solving.
Yeah, I like that part of it. And I know him well enough to know that he's not cheating.
Yeah.
In that, because I think if I know my son the way I think I know him, is that what he's honestly going, well, sure, I don't know it now, but if I Google the answer and learn it, now I know it.
I can know it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I will know it. And
yeah. Exactly. That's what I tell my doctors. Like, I know you know more about my gallbladder because you went to school and I didn't. But if I just went to school for 4 years, I would know about my gallbladder too.
And the tone in which you say it, I'm sure, really helps a lot.
I have not seen a doctor in 6 years.
Really? You don't need it.
Don't need it.
WebMD it.
Because I have Google.
Oh.
Google doctor.
Dr. J loves him some WebMD and Google. Oh, he does love that a lot. Tom, who wrote into the show, one of my heroes. Tom, I'm sure he's done now. If not, then you suck, Tom. You're not my hero anymore. But when Sandy blew through, he's from New Jersey, and he rebuilt his house, right?
You mentioned him.
So he recently shot me an email because his kid is getting old enough, and they're shopping around for a gaming system, and I think I may have led him astray.
Oh, no.
Because
Did you tell him to get the Tandy?
Yes, and here's why.
It's like a 30-year-old console.
Son to have the same childhood that I had. I wanted him to play that ripoff of Pac-Man with the cockroaches where they would do the horribly... and the slalom skiing. Like, whoever thought slalom skiing in squares? You know what I mean? Having a square figure. Like,
what year was that? Because it was probably connected to the Olympics.
86 or something.
That would be the Winter Olympics.
But there were so many skiing games when we were kids. Like, who would have ever thought that that would be fun? Like...
I feel like
there was Pong that started all of it.
I think skiing was very popular in the 80s.
Maybe.
I think that
I just remember feeling like I didn't understand it because my dad's idea of skiing was cross country. Like,
which is, there's no hills, right?
Yeah, you just walk. It's walking and skis is what it is. And that's what we do. We do cross country. And he bought me cross country skis and we go walking, like speed walking.
I'm tired just watching you.
Like
right
soccer
now.
Moms at 6 a.m. in the suburbs, but we're doing it in the snow where it's freezing cold. And that was fun. And so much fun. He got a Nordic track, too. So when he could not be in the snow, do it, he could also fake walk in his house.
But he does that now. And
no, he doesn't Nordic. Well, he walks in the snow. You're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, everything is, to go back to our previous conversation, everything for parents then was more about whatever they wanted to do and less about whatever it is that we wanted. Unfair to my dad.
Which is why we have game consoles now for our kids.
Thank you, Kevin. So anyway, he's like, what should I get? Because what he wants to be able to do is he wants everybody to game as a family, right? I asked him if he wanted to also play, and he said, sure, yeah, I'll play a little bit, but he wants it to kind of be a supplement to spice things up for family game night, like where they do a lot of board games, they do Ride the Train or something like...
Yeah, Ticket to Ride.
Ticket to Ride, which I think is a horrible game. Am I misremembering?
No, if it's Ticket to Ride, that's a fun game, because it's you get a geographical map of the United States, and there are a lot of cities that don't come readily to your name, because it's like, I don't know, circa 1920 or something in there, maybe 40. No, probably 20. So there's like Petersburg and stuff. And then you build your train, railroad, by connecting them, by collecting cities and then being able to attach them. So it's both educates you on geography, and then also there's like some strategy and different ways to win.
So it's like colorful. Monopoly with trains.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Okay.
Not as redundant. You would like it. Yeah, there's no economic...
Wait, did you just call Monopoly redundant?
Monopoly is a painful redundant game. Oh, I know you love Monopoly. You are the only person I have ever spoken to who has found some redemptive element to Monopoly that I can respect and understand.
Oh, I love it.
Before we get too sidetracked, do you play with the free parking space gives you money in the pit? That's
I'm a purist.
Yeah, that's why.
That's a game for assholes.
Well, that's what keeps the game from working. It's not part of it. And it's actually contrary to the original point of the game, which is to teach you to own property and not rent. So if there's a magic spot where you can get free money for no reason, that's contrary to how the game is designed.
Yeah.
Go on.
It's called welfare, and that's why it doesn't work. It
or the lottery, or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Remember that time I lost half my listeners? So
game
I
console.
Told him, what I told him was his kid is crazy for Mario Odyssey.
Oh.
And I think you would agree with this, maybe. Mm-hmm. What I said to him was that when you're with the kids in games, whatever's hot, so Mario Odyssey is hot because the Switch just came out.
Yeah.
For anybody who's listening to this that is not into gaming, that because you didn't grow up with it or whatever, Nintendo has a new console, just like a PlayStation or an Xbox, whatever your kid has. Only this one, like Nintendo is one to do, is just kind of revolutionizes the console. And I've talked about this, but I think it was at the radio station or somewhere. Maybe I talked about it on our show a little bit when we came back. But that Nintendo has always done these really innovative things, but they
like
don't...
Like the Power Glove.
Right. But that was... The Power Glove, interestingly enough, was back when they had all of the market share.
Yeah.
But and was a kind of a cool idea,
yeah,
but didn't really work. Mm-hmm. But everybody still bought it.
Yep.
I had one. Did you have one?
No, I had the U-Force.
What is the U-Force?
Well, the U-Force was like the Power Glove, but with no glove.
Oh.
It was imagine your laptop, so it's open, and then it supposedly had infrared.
When you put your hand in it.
You put your hand in and you can move stuff around. That never worked. The only part that worked were the joystick controller that felt like a airplane. Mm. So it had a left and right.
I probably would not have had a Power Glove if it weren't for my parents being divorced. I think that really helped
out.
They
were pricey.
That helped out a lot, Mom.
Robbie was the one, was the thing you wanted.
Oh, I had Robbie too.
Did you really? Your parents were divorced.
That was the first Christmas of the divorce, was the Robbie where he showed up.
I had to.
And I remember I feeling bad because I was like, oh yeah, that looks cool. And I'm like, what, is this a robot that's going to pick up a top and move it? Like, isn't that what Robbie did? Am I misremembering?
No, he played games against
you. It was a top that he would pick up and you tell him what button to press and then he would press the button.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, it was super slow and horrible.
Oh, who cares?
It was almost... it was worse than the Power Glove. But point is...
Get that.
Is that Nintendo has this gaming console that they've combined what was great about the Game Boy with the portable gaming, which has never really had a chance to take off. I think the Game Boy did really well. Vita was okay. All of PlayStation's attempts at portable
gaming. Well, the mobile phone is just destroying the mobile game market.
But as you and I have talked about on the other gaming shows, that... The mobile phone apps, although maybe now they are closer.
They're getting better
because
the processing power of the new phones is right up there. The graphics engines are getting really close. And with tools like Unity, which are like really accessible software that people can design games for very quickly and easily, the lines are getting blurred. You're still going to get a better game experience on a portable system. But to your point, the best portable gaming system by far is the Nintendo Switch. It's a little like comparing a car to a horse-drawn carriage at this point.
Because it is the console.
It is the console.
You just pick it up and you walk around with it.
There is no phone app anywhere that looks anything like the Nintendo Switch. It's next gen.
But, and you would know better than I, and this is why I want to talk to you about this, is that I feel like while it's a great idea, I think it's great for younger gamers. Am I still living up to the propaganda of Nintendo or the publicity of the image of Nintendo by thinking that it's only going to be for young kids and that me as a 38-year-old, there's not going to be a ton of opportunities for games that I'm going to really, really enjoy?
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of platform games on there and stuff, and it's not...
I'm going to surprise you and say I do disagree.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about
it. You could go the other way. There are a lot of games available on the Switch that are family-oriented. Not only new games that have come out, they have a pretty reasonable library. The console is coming up on a year old at this point, maybe a little less. But it's also backwards compatible. So all Wii U games can be played on the Switch, to which there were an ample number of really quality multiplayer games in there. So my suggestion would be to get the Switch for the very first reason that you said, which was that his kid is crazy for Mario Odyssey.
Because I've heard amazing things about that.
It's a great game, and your whole family will love it, period. But the other reason to it, and why it would be easy to take this from like the old person point of view and kind of your joke in the beginning, to say, well, Target now has an all-in-one Atari console. You can get, for $50, you can get all the games of Atari on a like cutesy-looking Atari console. And
a coaster you could put your drink on.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
They have ones that have the Genesis. So for $60, you can play all the Sega Genesis games from the late 80s and early 90s. Just mash there together, and that'd be a lot of fun. And it would be fun for you as a grown-up if you played those games, because there's nostalgia and you'll remember them. But to the kids today, they look at that and the graphics don't hold up. There's no emotional connection to them. They'll play them with you because some of the games, maybe one or two, will be interesting to them. But on the whole, the reality is their kid culture is that they are talking about Super Mario Odyssey. So you can't compete with that. And I'll go back to our Nickelodeon days, back when you and I used to host Nickelodeon shows. We were supposed to interview the kids on stage and try to get them to talk, right, comfortably share things. And you'd ask them, like, what do you do in the summer vacation? You know, what do you like to do with your dad? That kind of thing. Being a gamer, I would ask the question of what, you know, what game do you like? And kids at the time would often say Halo, which is a very famous game for the Xbox that kind of revolutionized things. There's a lot of shooting. It's a first-person shooter. You go around as the Master Chief and you fight aliens and you blow them up. You have this vast array of fantasy style guns, and there's cars and vehicles and stuff. It's a very cool game. But young kids, we'd be talking about playing Halo, which is below the line for the rating. So like 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, no judgment for me. So I would, but I would say something fun of like, oh, do you like Halo because it sounds angelic and there's a Halo involved in it? Or do you just like the guns? And try to make like a joke out of it. So you're like, do you just like blowing up aliens? Something like that. And so they could say blowing up aliens. Every time I did that joke, the kid would open up and then explain in their own words what they liked about it. Well, I really like the combat system, and yeah. I like the character. I really like the world. The graphics in the game are very appealing. They would say stuff like this. These are the same kids that if you asked, what's your favorite subject in school? Recess? Like, they're stone cold terrified of being on stage. They don't know what to say. Ask them about games, and they it was the one, even if I asked them about Nickelodeon, they couldn't get their head into how to properly brand what we were talking about. They could talk about Halo every single time. So it's a long way of saying, if your kid is into Odyssey, knows what it is, then you're going to get a lot more out of that as a family to do that game that they really want to do. Because ultimately, anything less than that, they're still going to want to play Odyssey.
Yeah. Well, and what I was thinking is that eventually, just because of the nature of the kid, eventually Odyssey will go away and the new thing will come in. And I was trying to think of what would be a good fit long term. Like,
but I think that, well, the Mario, it's different if they were saying they wanted to play Call of Duty. Then I think you could have a couple of conversations.
That's, yeah, if he, or if the like, dad, if the dad, because this kid's no, six, the kid's and he's like, probably not going to want.
Even then, if he's like, I want to play Star Wars Battlefront. Okay. Like, you know, I love Star Wars. There's a great Battlefront game. You know, we can unlock Chewbacca. Like, this should be cool.
So what you're saying, if he's already keyed into the Nintendo brand.
Because it is a family game. And so many families have such a lovely time on playing those games
together. Good point by you.
They're colorful, they're bright, there's a sense of adventure. And out of all the developers, one of the reasons why Nintendo does so well is that they polish their games so well. That's they true. Work on their games to the point where they're damn near perfect.
The only other thing I would throw in, unless you could tell me that, can you get like a Steam account on a PS4, or is that Xbox exclusive because of PC?
What do you mean by Steam account? Am I like saying Valve?
Yeah, like where you could essentially stream the games, isn't it? Am I saying it right?
Those are all things. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just don't know what you mean, because PlayStation has the PlayStation Network. Is that what you're referring to?
No, I'm talking about Steam. Steam is something.
Oh, where you can
separate from all of them, even. Yeah, but you can access a Steam account from Xbox.
So Nintendo does have their Nintendo Shop where you can download and purchase games in there. The streaming element of it, though, no.
But Steam is a PC kind of cloud gaming where you don't have the cartridges, you don't have the discs, but you can almost like GameFly where, you know what I mean, where you
absolutely
it's Netflix streaming.
Yeah, you can download,
but you can't get Steam on a PS4.
You can get, not that brand, not Steam, but on a PS4, we have the PSN.
They have their own proprietary thing. Because here's why, the other thing I'm thinking is that if you're on the fence, right, and you don't know which way to go, he also joked about, Ed, do we go crazy and buy two consoles, which I think is kind of insane in this time. But the other thing I was going to throw out there is that it just happened to me like literally hours before we started doing the episode. Have you heard of Roblox? We've talked about it on the other show a little bit. Roblox is this open world. It's kind of like Minecraft with better graphics is how I would describe it. And this, what these guys, I haven't delved into it, but my kids found it on our Amazon Fire just by talking into it. And they stumble upon these videos of like the guy who does the annoying orange web series. He plays Roblox. And then there's these other guys that play. They just watch videos of people playing Roblox. And the games that are in this look really, really fun. Mm-hmm. Really fun. Like they have one where it's a prison and you can decide if you want to be a prisoner or a cop. And if you're a prisoner, your goal is to break out of prison without. And if you're a cop, you go and grab people and you put handcuffs on them, and then they go back and they respawn in their jail cell, right?
Yep.
And then once you get out of the prison, I guess you could, you know, work with other people to rob banks. And it's the same kind of concept as Minecraft, but in my opinion, it's more defined gameplay. There's like these little elements of games. My son, so I just set him up with an account on his Chromebook tonight. Within minutes, he was playing an NFL football version of Roblox.
Neat.
I'm playing football something or other, and he was having fun, and he won his game.
And it was licensed NFL?
I don't know that it was licensed.
It was just some football.
But I know that they have like a McDonald's game that's in there.
Oh, sure.
So it's an open world thing, and I'm sure you have to pay like $4 or $5 every time you go into this. An ad, I've turned that off for him because I don't want him just willy-nilly spending money.
Remember the Smurfberries controversy?
But so if that sounds interesting to you, or if your kid is interested in that kind of stuff, then I would lean more towards an Xbox One, because at least you can do that through the Xbox One, because it is limited to Steam and PC gaming.
Oh, they are. So those robots. And my last push for the Nintendo Switch, of which I do not own, and nor do you own the Xbox, which is pretty funny. Why I think the Switch would be a superior console at this point in your family's development is that the Switch is a completely portable system, as we mentioned, and then you can take it anywhere, set it on a table, and disconnect the sides of it, which then become controllers that you can then play a game with. So if you're like, I don't know, stuck in a waiting room somewhere for an hour, you and your kid can set up a living room situation anywhere.
I think you
can
do it in the
Yeah, in the back seat, anytime, anywhere. You can play tennis and a bunch of stuff together.
That's a good point by you.
Yeah,
see, this is why you talk about this stuff with Kevin Miller. Let's take another break, and we will come back and do a little moment of the week. If you want to find other like-minded parents, a great place for you to go do that is through the fan page created by our very own Butcher Drew.
All right, all right, all right.
The jerk who was hitting on my wife in the episode a few weeks back. And anyway, he started this great fan page, and they post memes there. They do their own moments of the week. If somebody has a concern or a question, you could post it up there, and they don't judge you. You can go and vent to them, and they'll be like, dude, been there. It's just, they're a cool bunch of people. It's Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast. That's the name of the fan group on Facebook. So just go to your Facebook account, do a search for Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast, ask to join. Butcher Drew will get you in there, and you can have a nice, fun online community of people. All right.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Dad Gear. All your child traveling needs packed into stylish, practical perfection. Designed by real dads for real dads and moms. Don't be the guy with a diaper purse. Be the man with a Dad Gear diaper backpack. Go to dadgear.com and use promo code DADPODCAST at checkout for 20% savings. Made in the USA.
All right. Usually the guest goes first.
That's very kind of you.
So you can go first, or if you want, I will go first. You are a guest.
Why don't you go first? Because it's funny. I feel like in the last 24 hours, something happened with my son where I was like, man, that's a really good moment of the week.
It becomes a haze.
If Justin,
and it does not have to be within the last week.
I'm sure. There are lots. I want to honor that. If not, I'm just going to make up a story.
That sounds like a good plan. Mine is, it's funny, as we've been talking about gaming and everything, mine happens not in gaming at all.
Yeah.
My kids are very much into playing games. And to the point where, and next time we do this, we got to spend more time talking about that, is that I find it so funny that you and I would grow up the way that we did and be two dads who, like, we got to control how much time they spend doing this.
Because we know.
But
because
no, I don't. Here's the thing. I feel like, and this is why we got to talk about this.
Yeah.
I feel like my kids have a very different relationship with it. And maybe it's just because I'm an adult and I see it through a different lens.
Yeah.
But it's also a different world that they live in, because I would play games for a little bit, but eventually would crave wanting to go outside and throw the football around with my friends instead of just playing Joe Montana football.
Yeah.
But I could stay up all night. I had a friend who was in his 20s that I would, like, he was a buddy of mine when I was 12, and he and I would play video games all night. I would go over to his house, and then he had a paper out too, even though he's 27. He worked for my dad, and I would go, we'd stay up all night, go do each other's paper out, come back, get some donuts, and then play video games again.
That's
awesome. It was incredible. So I had that in me, but I don't know. I don't remember getting in trouble for being like it. It exhausts my kids. It makes them cranky. It does.
They're different.
Yeah,
the games are different, and the time and the parenting is different.
Right.
Because,
I think it's more the parenting is different than I would say the games. That's my opinion.
Well, I just mean because your parents didn't know. They didn't spend hours on a Saturday playing Pac-Man in their room. They didn't do that.
That's
kids.
True.
They didn't know what that feels
My
like.
My dad was always building crap when he was a kid.
Exactly. Exactly.
How was that fun?
Secondly, games are far more engrossing. They're designed now to keep you in front of the console. They weren't before. They were designed to their maximum capabilities. Like Pac-Man was as long as it was because that's as long as it could physically be.
That Lego Dimensions game.
You can play that forever.
It's really cool.
You can play Minecraft forever.
And my kids, when they're eating a meal, like in the morning we let them watch TV while we try to have a dinner. More days than not, when we have dinner, we sit and there's no TV or no nothing.
That's good.
Every once in a while we have a movie night dinner and we'll watch a movie or a show while we're eating dinner, right? And they will watch videos through that Amazon Fire of other people playing Lego Dimensions, which I think is just, there's a big part of me that's like, you have no fucking clue how great your world is. You have no clue how lucky you are that even when you're not playing games, you could pick up where you left off and have somebody else do it
even
for
that,
you.
Yeah, that's not even like, you don't know, we didn't used to have games. No, you don't understand, we didn't even have to save point.
Yeah.
You have a save point.
Oh, that's a good point by you too. So to all of that, for my moment of the week was, we were watching football, and my wife is so into football now, like uber into it, like cursing at the screen and she's got, oh my gosh, I can't look. She's way invested into football, and it's not just the Rams like it was before. Now she's getting to know more of the players and the stories behind it, and she loves it. And so she had to go do a work thing Sunday afternoon in the middle of the AFC champion or the divisional round game. And so we paused it in the third quarter. So she had to go, and we were going to watch the fourth quarter, which basically would have meant we would be halfway through the Vikings and why can I not remember?
Saints.
Thank you. So Vikings and Saints, we would be at halftime when we would be starting the fourth quarter of the AFC game. So we had a 3-hour window. I had to repair a traffic cone cart for the school. So I make the kids come with me. And at first I was like, you know, they're going to hassle me. And they did a little bit, but I'm like, this will be good for them. And sure enough, they find enjoyment, especially Jacob, of turning a crescent wrench and a nut. Like, he's just like, this is cool. And I knew that he would get a kick out of it. Jack is still kind of young for this kind of stuff, but we jerry-rigged this cart so that it would work for the new purpose because it had broken, right? And I let them be a part of, like, even though I had an idea of what I was going to do, I would ask them, like, what should we do? This is why this doesn't work. Yeah. And bring them into the conversation, which got them invested, and they had ideas. Jacks were, of course, crazy and funny.
Pinata! So, maker! It makes pinatas!
Jack, we're trying to fix a traffic cone cart.
Me too!
Which, by the way, your bit is not too far off. And then he always hits you with the super rational one, like, Dad, I have an idea. I have an idea, Dad. Dad, I have an idea. And we're in the aisle lows looking at conduit that I can meld together to try and make this thing. And he goes, Dad, I have an idea. I have an idea. And I go, okay. And he was super serious. He goes, Jack is always going to say something good when you hear that.
That's good.
Here comes some, it's either going to be really funny or just a colossal load of bullshit coming right at you. Just, what if, and I'm serious, he said, and I'm serious, we just get another one. Like, buy another one. Then we don't have to do all this work, and they have a new one.
Oh, see, he Googled the answer.
I was like, no.
Player two.
Because that costs $300, and this repair is going to cost $9. That's why. Moving on.
But we would be done.
I know.
We'd be done, Dad.
I know. So we get done. I told the story on this show about a friend. They did like a fundraiser and where they ran laps, and one of the prizes was they got one of those like office basketball hoops that you stick to the wall.
Oh, sure.
And you
can shoot with a little ball. Yeah.
Well, they didn't give Jack.
We should get one in here. That'd be great.
Right? they didn't give Jack his because they ran out.
Mm.
And so, but Jack likes to play basketball, which was part of the irony. And so I said, we were at an executive PTA meeting, and I said, well, I'm just going to buy him a full-size basketball hoop anyway. And I go, but what I'll do is I'll tell him that since they ran out of the other ones, this is the one that the company gave him as the joke. And then they go, well, that's horrible. What will his older brother think? I go, his older brother will think the world likes his little brother more. That's good for him. Struggle is good.
Nice.
Well, one of the moms, they were like renovating their backyard. And so she actually texts me. She goes, do you want this basketball hoop? So I had to drag. I tried to take it apart. I couldn't take it apart. Yeah. Put it in my minivan. So I drug it 3/4 of a mile
Yes.
And brought it to the house. And then they've never really played it. Cut to, we finished the cart. And Jack is like, hey, let's play some basketball. So I was like, awesome. So me and my two sons, I taught them. And it's such a funny idea because I felt like my dad never had to teach me any of these kinds of things. And not just because he wasn't sports oriented. Like, this was the kind of stuff you figured out on a playground.
Yeah.
But they don't really have basketball hoops on their playground. They have volleyball nets, but they play jailbreak, I think is what they call it, which is like volleyball, but it's, you're just throwing it over. You don't have to bump that spike. Sure.
Yeah, and then you'd have to catch it. That's what we played in elementary school. Yeah.
Oh,
and
we didn't have that.
If it dropped, well, a person was out. And then especially if you dropped it, you were out.
You know what game I would like to bring back from my days on elementary school?
Foursquare. Say Foursquare.
I would play Foursquare. Yeah, I was going to paint one because Jacob loves Foursquare. I was going to paint one on our driveway.
There were all these rules. Remember, you'd call things, you had to do order and stuff if you're a one.
But the game I loved more than anything was Steal the Bacon. Do you remember that one?
It, no.
They would get an eraser from the chalkboard, like the chalkboard eraser, and you put it in the middle of a basketball court on the playground, right in the middle where you do the jump ball.
Yeah.
And then you divvy up the class into two teams and they'd line up on the sides and everybody had a number. So say a classroom of 30, you had 1 through 15.
Yeah.
So there was 1 through 15 on one side, 1 through 15, and the teacher would be like, 12. And both number 12s would run as fast as you could to try to grab the chalk,
the eraser,
and get it back across your line. But if you grabbed it first and the other person touched you, no point.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
But if you could grab it and get back, it was perfect.
That's fun.
Oh, and it was so funny because I was so intense at this game that I would wait till towards the end because that's when the kids would get bored, and that was my only shot because I wasn't quite fast enough. You know what
right,
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
to where
yeah.
I could always get it.
Yeah.
But I knew
but
that
you
I
had
could
better
wait.
Retention.
I had the long game.
You know who took that game? The XFL. Remember them?
They did.
They did the, that was their coin toss. Was
no, wait, they did?
Yeah. So they had both.
I don't remember this.
So they,
I remember the XFL.
They were like, you know, it's all about the game. We're going to get rid of the establishment, the NFL. Anything they do, we're going to make better. So for their coin toss, they put, at the 50-yard line, they put a football, and then both members, one like a running back or something from each team stood at the end zone, the same end zone, so not in your version where they'd be different.
Okay.
Yeah, and they would race and to grab the football, and whoever held on to the ball, they would win the coin toss.
That's awesome.
And that's who would get to choose
like
to
idea.
Give or receive.
But so get back to my point. I taught my kids to play horse.
Ah, fun.
And we've spent no short of 2 hours playing horse in our driveway while my wife was at her open house, and then we closed the day watching The Miracle in Minnesota. And the fun football game.
The Miracle of Minnesota. I remember
great.
That movie.
It was good times.
They're going to lose.
Those are my moments.
To the Patriots.
To the Patriots. Oh, they might lose to the Patriots.
It's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm a big Patriots fan.
I know you're a big Patriots
fan. I know, but your fans don't.
Oh, that's a good point by you. Oh, we're doing a podcast.
You forgot.
Yes, I did.
That's why you're eating syrup. Like foods that are the worst to eat while podcasting. Chips.
Pretzels. Nuts of any
gum. Food. Yeah, any kind of nuts. So I remembered mine. Thanks for giving me the
You're
time
welcome.
To remember because it was this morning. So today is Martin Luther King Day, the day we're recording this. Can I tell people that?
Yeah,
does that ruin the mystery?
No.
It's
no,
your
no.
birthday week. I'm sorry.
No, it doesn't. So, I don't care. I'm not that guy.
So they have preschool off. Did your kids have school off today?
Yes.
Yeah. So they had school off. So in order to give my wife a little downtime, I was like, you know what? I'll get up with the kids in the morning because they get up pretty early. And I'll go out and I'll just take them to like a cheap breakfast somewhere like Carl's Jr. or whatever. And we'll just eat some nonsense in that way. The moment they're awake, well, I'll get them out of the house. And that way you can sleep in, enjoy a morning and not have to listen to kids. And of course she's like, oh no, it's not a big deal if you have us here. I was like, when you do it for me, like take them to school or whatever, it just takes something out of the room to know that there's no one else in the house.
Yeah.
And you don't have, if no one's ever going to start crying.
Yeah.
And if they do, it's a neighbor and you don't care. Let me do this for you. So we get up, we scoop them out. They were really good. They were very nice and quiet getting out of the house. So we go get in the car. They're a little fussy. Get there, get to Carl's Jr. and sit down, get our food. And they're, you know, they're kids. So after a while, they start to get bored and they start to stab their tater tots with a straw and they're throwing syrup bottles around, whatever. They're toddlers. So I was like, okay. And it was a pretty successful breakfast. And then I was like, it's still a little early. I wanted to give her a little more time. And so I just start driving. I was like, you know, I had this kind of realization recently that when did traveling become just waiting? Like, it should be fun. Even in kids' cartoons, like preschool shows, it's about cars just driving around the town. Like, if you have to go across country, it's like you might as well go to jail because it's the same thing. We're just going to drive. So we're just trying to driving around Burbank, and I'm just throwing out ideas. Where do you guys want to go? Here, there, everywhere. You guys, and then I was like, you want to go to this Taekwondo place? You want to go to this bank over here? And so we start to go by Toys R Us. I was like, just before I'm about to tell him, like, we could go to Toys R Us. He's like, I know what we should do. We should go to Target. My oldest son. I was like, well, what do you want to Target? Not a terrible idea. We do like to go and look at the toys. He's like, well, I'm not going to tell you because you're just going to say no. I said,
I get that.
And I was like, okay, well, I don't know what it is. So
that's
just
a dad's
tell me.
Role to say no.
Yeah, exactly. And so the other day he had wanted to go to Target and buy a bunch of art supplies for some reason. And he really wanted to make paper mache eggs that he learned from some craft.
Whoa.
But I was like, I gave him this whole lecture about just because you want to do a craft right now, we're not going to go buy the supplies. So I thought for sure we were going down this road that he was going to bring it up, but he didn't, it didn't sound like he changed his mind. Like, I don't want to say that I'm going to lie and say something else, because what he did say is there are these colorful caterpillar things at Target that are toothbrushes. I was like, you want to go buy a toothbrush? He's like, yeah. And I go, well, okay, well, we're by Toys R Us. We're literally driving by it. I'm like, there's Toys R Us. I mean, do you want to do Toys R Us or Target? Some people are more Target people. Some people are Toys R Us. And he's I want to do I want to do Target. Like, okay. And his sister's too, so she doesn't really get to vote or really understand what's going on.
And a chick.
Yeah, exactly. She doesn't know. So we go to Target, and he tells me where to find them. I don't even know where toothbrush. I'm trying to think, like, where are toothbrushes in Target? There's a whole pharmaceutical section. We go over. Sure enough, he knew exactly. He had seen them at some point, and I look, it's $1.50 for two Caterpillar toothbrushes that have a suction cup bottom to them, and they're a decent toothbrush. They're just not a name brand. And then his sister Hazel sees the Trolls one, because she's way into the movie Trolls, and it's an electric toothbrush for $5, and she wants that one. I'm like, okay, here you guys go. We came to Target and a toothbrush, and then I did a lap around the store because we still had a little bit of time to kill, and we went by the toy section, and they're still like, they're looking at movies, and they're like, oh yeah, that's a neat movie. They look at toys. Oh, that's a cool toy. They stayed in the cart the whole time, and we're just so excited to each have their
toothbrushes.
Their dollar toothbrushes. It was great. Like, we were just talking about how hard it is with stores just constantly, you need this thing, you need this thing. And I had just had a lecture about you don't need all the art supplies that you ever want just because you have an idea. And they're both like, yay,
toothbrush,
Caterpillar toothbrush. We came home, we brushed teeth. They were so excited to brush teeth. They could not. They walked in the door like, we're opening the toothbrush. We're doing this now. We're brushing teeth now. And then, so probably the secondary moment of the week right after that, I'm like, okay, so you have two new toothbrushes, because he got two brushes. We don't need Mater anymore. So we're going to say bye-bye, Mater. I kind of do a little joke. I'm like, bye-bye, Mater. And I put it down in the trash, and I look up, and he is genuine. Tears running down his face like I had just run over his puppy. And we're like, what's wrong? He's like, I don't want to throw my toothbrush away. I still like it. I'm like, well, I'm taking it out of the trash to make him stop crying. And this is very rare. He's a pretty tough kid. Yeah. He does not show emotion very often. I'm like, well, what do you want to do with it? He's like, I still want to use it. I'm like, I get it. Toothbrushes are intimate. Yeah. I understand. And so
his father's a collector.
Yeah.
I don't know if you picked this up from the story.
There it is. There it is. So we have three toothbrushes. And then I'll tell the ultimate punchline in case my wife happens to be listening. Is that she comes in and she's like, well, what about all the toilet paper you've been throwing out all over the years? And I go, and she looks at me like, you probably want to keep those too, because of what you just said, you collector.
Yeah.
And I look at her and I drop my shoulders and I sink down with my head low and go, I've lost so many. To which she has been quoting that line to me all day.
I've
lost so many toilet paper.
That's good stuff. All right, that's the show. You can send an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Don't forget, still going on now, if you go to sunbasket.com/dadpodcast, you can get $35 off your order. If you don't know what Sunbasket is, they're a new sponsor on the show. They're one of those meal services where they'll ship you, but their deal is it's all organic. It all comes from sustainable farm. So what I like about it especially if you're the one who cooks all the meals, it's nice to know that at least three or however many meals you decide to get in a week, three of those meals, say, are, you know, are going to be healthy meals. And it, I've learned some stuff about cooking and cooking them. I'm big time into wilting greens now.
Oh, yeah.
They have a big thing where you cook like your protein in a pan, and then they say, okay, take the protein, set it aside to rest, and then you'll take like some kale, or I did some chard today, and you cook that in the oil and juices with some garlic. And it sounds like, I don't know, maybe, I don't know what you're doing, but in your mind, I'm sure you're like, who'd want to wilt some greens? But it is so freaking
good. Heard that on a radio show about 10 years ago. Somebody did a thing where they challenged everybody in the area to create a meal for $10 for a family of four. Mm-hmm. And only one person could do it, and he was a Korean chef. And he described fried chicken with cabbage that wilts over it, that you make the fried chicken and then you put the cabbage and then it wilted. And I thought, that must be a cultural thing, or like a some sort of pairing that I'm not familiar with. I've never had intentionally wilted food, so I would love to eat what you're making.
It's, and the funny thing is that it cleans the pan, like even the little bit of gristle, like the stuff, and it comes in with the seeds. It's really good, man. I'm telling you. So sunbasket.com/dadpodcast, $35 off your first order when you give that a shot. Kevin can be found on Instagram at Unlockable Man.
Yeah.
Twitter at thekevinmiller.com, or right. thekevinmiller, not yep. .com, but you can go to thekevinmiller.com.
That's the website.
Yep. Anything else?
I'm on the Twitch. If you are into games, you want to learn more about games and watch somebody play them, occasionally I Twitch, which means I play games and you watch me play them.
And you get to talk to people there,
right? You chat in a thing. It'd be like this. If you're listening live and you chat in our box, then I respond to that. And that's The Kevin Miller.
All right, perfect. And all of that is in the description of this episode. So on behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, Justin Wortham, saying hug your kid, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, my friend. He almost said our farewell on the other show.
Okay, bye.